Welcome this morning. We have a packed house. God is in the house. Love is in the house. And the house is packed. Welcome back to some of you I haven't seen in a long time. And if you're visiting, welcome to Catalina. This is our 10:30 Avalon service. My name's Andrew, and I'm getting right into it today. A lot of you just came in, like in the last few minutes. We printed out some extra outlines for you guys. Michael, if you'll hop up real quick, make sure that everybody gets one of these. Raise your hand if you don't have one, and we'll make sure that you get one. This is a gorgeous, sunny Sunday, 75, right? Welcome back to February, which is what we had last week, too. I think it was blowing like 30 miles an hour out there. It's going to rain today, I think, and we love that kind of stuff. It is Memorial Day weekend, and we pay tribute to those that have given everything. They've given all of it, and we say thank you back to them and honoring them this weekend. I understand that the city and others will be also having a tribute up at the cemetery tomorrow at 10 a.m. for those of you who can make it. This is our reflection this week. And so we jump into this sermon title, and you're going, help me with this. I need to, how do the two narratives go? How does this play out with our reflection this week and what you've got going on here in Avalon? How does this play out? How does this journey? And we're in this third week, so to speak. I don't really know. It's a subject of getting things back in order in this age of anxiety. I've been going through stuff, so it kind of fell into my notes. You ever have that happen, where all your conversations are the stuff that you're kind of going through? And I have a funny feeling I'm not the only one. It's kind of a May thing going on here at the church. And I'm looking today in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. I want to share this scene with you in a very appropriate way. We really have a wonderful thing going on today. This is a wonderful time. This is actually really interesting. It's a very practical message. It's kind of a funny little story. It's sitting here in the middle of nowhere, and Luke put it in his gospel account. I have heard it. I heard Reed do an announcement earlier. I've heard this story. Everybody's heard of Martha and Mary. So you're blue in the face. You guys know the scene and what happened there. So I sat back going, is there something in here today for any of us, for me? Why would he do this? And since we're talking about this thing about anxiety, kind of taking back our minds, I think we not only have to look at that in the deeper sense, in the simple everyday ways where life can just bump us and bruise us. I mean, emotionally, physically, it hits. It causes us to be sensitive and touchy. And so this passage is very interesting for that purpose. Let me read it to you right now. Jump in. If you see it on the screen, that's cool. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to him. And so they're on their way to Jerusalem, actually for a trip here. And that's where Jesus is always headed. He's always headed to the cross. No matter what he's doing, if he's healing people, he's headed to the cross. He's focused. He knows that it's his ultimate goal, and that's why nobody was able to get Jesus off track. Amen? He was not taken off mission. Class, amen?
Amen.
All right, we're together because he knew he came to do something. He came and stayed focused. He needed a place to stay. They're 2 miles out in Bethany, and he knew that that meant suffering. He knew that that meant putting aside certain things. He knew that that meant putting aside agendas of other people. Am I stepping on toes this morning? All right. He knew that he wasn't necessarily going to live up to their preferences. He knew all of this. And he was headed up to Jerusalem. A lot of things were happening along the way. How many of you know how a lot of things happen to you when you're headed somewhere? Raise your hand. Right? It always happens to me. You've just got to get where you're going, and then a million little things intervene. And they jump in. That's a lot like my sermons. If I'd stay on topic, we'd get through probably a lot sooner. But the gift of these wonderful things are sometimes along the way, there's these little nuggets, these little things that happen. It's kind of a funny Bible study. John, you want to do this one on a Wednesday night. Circle every time in the Bible that somebody's on their way somewhere and something crazy happened to them. All right? This is really cool. But something good enough to get into the Bible here actually happened. Luke put it in here. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. I've heard all the stories around this story, but it made it in here. They were just on their way somewhere. And life is like that. Because some of God's greatest invitations come from little interruptions. Amen? They do. I had one this week. You know, just sometimes it's on your phone. Or you look at things and all of a sudden, you know, that text comes up in the middle of church even. Something comes up, you just got to jump up and take care of it all of a sudden. Interruptions that happen all the time. Write this down somewhere. I don't know where. But God's greatest invitations sometimes come through little interruptions, right? You can put that in your phone if you want. It's kind of cool. I like that one. So it's like right here before the story. Jesus is talking about the Good Samaritan. Before all this, you hear the Good Samaritan story. They were passing by this guy. They were in a hurry to get somewhere. And they couldn't be bothered to stop because they were distracted by their schedule. And sometimes that distraction will be what you plant. And sometimes that agenda of God will be revealed in something you didn't know was going to happen. You didn't have a clue. Some of you have been on vacation in the last week, week and a half, 2 weeks. I guarantee you what you wanted to do, you never got to do in some cases because something else changed that. Right? You might have been coming from Pebbly this morning and your golf cart broke down on the way here, okay? Not today, but I won't mention Michael's name. It happens to him every other weekend. But something like that could happen to you. You just plan on getting somewhere and all of a sudden something else changes that. Okay, I got to go a little faster here. And here's the deal. They're on their way somewhere. They come to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what the Lord said, but Martha was distracted. Okay, everybody say distracted. Distracted. Yeah, by all the preparations that had to be made, she came to him. Don't you care that my sister left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. Look at your neighbor and say Martha, Martha right now, or their name. Say it twice. Yeah, there you go. The Lord answered, "You're worried, you're upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. And Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." And I want to use this title for this sermon today. Let Jesus flip your script. Okay? Martha's journey from screen director to servant. There's this movie that we all have in our mind. Okay. You've been to this movie. You've been to this movie, right? It's the theater of your own anxious imagination. This is what I believe should be happening right now, okay? My movies are often rated R in my mind for ridiculous, all right? Just letting you know. Just the stupid stuff I make up in my mind every week, all the time. My wife hears about it sometimes, and she's like, "That's stupid stuff," okay? I was dreading something so much that I went to actually do it, and I had no reason to dread it, and it actually ended up being the best part of my week when I let go of it. And you all know where I'm going with this, right? You know what I'm saying? You just made up this stuff. It surrounds it. It ended up being fine. It's the best part of my week. But I made up something in my mind because I make these movies in my mind because I'm the director of dysfunction in my mind, okay? And in my mind, I make these movies, and sometimes my editing seems a bit off. People that hang out with me, they're going, "What's that all about?" To what, you know, what should happen or what will ever happen. So the movie in my mind, and the movie in your mind, what kind of, when I meet someone, like I'll ask them right off the bat, you know, I'm just getting to know them a little bit. Yesterday I met a lot of new people, a lot of folks on the island. What kind of music do you like? And if they say, "I really don't like music," then I'm done with them. Just being honest with you. I love music. You have no soul. Music is a huge part. I have a conversation with somebody. It's always going to vibe. What do you listen to? What's your band like? Okay. What are your favorite movies? And typically when they find out I'm a pastor, I get a lot of churchy things. Oh, Ben-Hur, you know, and Facing the Giants, Fireproof. I get a lot of churchy things. And to be honest with you, quite honest with you, here it comes. A lot of Christian movies, I'm not a fan of. I'm just not. There, quite honestly, there's a lot of cheese in some of these movies, all right? I know half of you are going to walk out of here going, who is this guy? What's going on with him, man? Just going after this. But I'm just, I don't like movies that have no reality to them or grit to them, all right? Personally, I love movies where people end up dead all over the place, okay? The Avengers, for instance, that was a heck of an ending. That's all I have to say. I haven't even been to one Avengers movie. But I saw that. I sat there for 3 hours. By the way, it's too long of a movie. But anyway, it's a great movie. And I saw everybody just going at it at the end, right? And then Iron Man. Did I just ruin it for some people? All right. What happens to Iron Man? You should know by now. All right. And I was like, yeah, gave it all, right? Some of these movies, I don't know. Some of you guys go, I don't mind dropping $15 on a movie that I find is rated G because I don't have that going on in my life, and I need some of that going on in my life. My life is gritty enough. I need a rated G. I need something that's Pikachu. I need something, all right? I've got enough good going on, a bad going on, so I need something that's light. That's fine, all right? But I like my stuff gritty. Why? Because life is like that. My life is like that. Your life is like that. The Bible is like that. You want to open the Bible, it is rated G for gritty. Probably rated R, and in some cases more than that. The Bible is loaded. Why? Because it's reality. And you look at this story of these sisters duking it out, all right? And Jesus is there. Why is that in there? And there's only so many verses that we can use to communicate, you know, God's eternal plan of redemption, and then this is in there. I mean, humanity is hanging on every word of Scripture, and these two sisters aren't getting along, and we throw this little story in there. This is not Hollywood. This is not the script, right? Luke, you might want to cut this one. This one shouldn't make the final cut here. Come on. Humanity's hanging on every word here, Luke. The Good Samaritan thing, keep it. Lord's Prayer, keep it. I like all that. But, you know, this two sisters duking it out here. But no, it made it. And I'm kind of glad. Because my life is not always epic either. Monday mornings, I am not marching into the promised land, okay? I am preparing for FCA and a billion other little ministries going on. There's meetings in the early afternoon. There's practices in the afternoon to get to for trainings. Wild Men at Night, you know, it's just normal stuff going on. It's a busy day. So I'm glad that God kind of put some stuff in the Bible that's not epic and what I can relate to. Amen? Because life is like that. There's these little sidetracks. And this may happen to me this week. I'm hoping I do. Quite honestly, I'm looking at my calendar this week. I have meetings every single day, all the way through Sunday. I mean, we're going right through it. It's the end of the school year, and there's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of awards nights. You guys know the drill, right? So I'm needing something here that could relate to me. But the most epic thing for my week may just be attending all of these meetings, right? So I literally needed something to upset my week this week. And I got a brand new grandson, my friends. That was epic, and that interrupted my week in a big way. Not really due quite yet. Had another week or so ago to go, and yeah, the big news dropped. And I'm super stoked, and no, I'm not going to put any pictures on the screen. Everybody's seen them already. That's why. But that was an epic deal. And Shelley and I both are grandparents for the first time. Our oldest son, Alexander, had a son this week, named him Moses Oak Christian Hobbs, and we're stoked. We're going to get to go see him right after graduation. There's a lot happening this week, and we're going to try to get down there for sure. But things happen that are epic when you're not planning on it. And so a lot of life lessons that I need for my life. It's not how to deal with epic situations, but how to deal with everyday situations, okay? Enter Martha. Can I say something that you're probably also not going to like now that you heard that I'm not a big fan of Christian movies? and you don't think I'm saved anymore, okay? I'm going to let you know this. My biggest fan in this whole story, my favorite character in this whole deal, all right, is the one that Jesus corrected. I might as well go on record. I like Martha more than I like Mary. I'm going to be honest with you, okay? I know I'm not supposed to. I know Jesus uses Mary as the hero of this story, who's doing what she's supposed to be doing, okay? She's sitting at the Lord's feet and listening to his words and soaking in the revelations and knowing the Savior. But have you ever tried to have Mary on your staff? Okay? I might as well come out with it. Sometimes I like the wrong movies. Sometimes I like the wrong characters. My favorite character in this story is the one who's getting cracked on. I like people who do stuff. Well, you know, Martha had a bad attitude. Yeah, Mary had a GoFundMe, okay? See, this is what it said. Look at it. Verse 38, here it is. Verse 38, she opened her home to him. Mary is not paying the mortgage. Martha is paying the mortgage. So before we beat up on Martha for being too busy, let's just know this, that if it were up to Mary, this whole story wouldn't be going on. Jesus would be at the local soup kitchen in Bethany right now. Thank God for Martha. Okay? I just want to say that before we tear her apart, we should celebrate Martha. I see what one actor even said this week about on BuzzFeed, about yelling at your kids. Okay? You're not around them enough if you don't yell at your kids. That's what he said. And I sat back and I thought, going, this kind of gets me right here. And I'm going, yeah, that's right. You don't drop them off. You don't pick them up. You don't see them talk back to their teacher. You don't see them talk back to the coach when they're mouthing off, right? Oh, okay. He's correcting her. He's correcting her here. A distracted approach. Look at verse 40. Look at verse 40. She was distracted. Not by Candy Crush, okay? Not by Instagram, look at what she's, but by all the preparations that had to be made. And we know that Jesus wanted to eat something, okay? But he corrects her for cooking for him. That seems so strange to me. Why in the world would he rebuke the responsible one here, right? And as I reflected on this, I started to see myself and Martha left and right. And that there was nothing really wrong with her actions at all, okay? What Jesus was doing was he was correcting her attitude, amen? She was distracted, watch this, okay, by all the preparations that had to be made. Somebody had to do it. It wasn't what she was doing. Jesus wasn't mad at Martha because she was busy, right? In fact, the reason he liked her house is probably because it was clean. He wanted to stay there because it was clean. She didn't sit around praying 23 hours and 59 minutes a day. Her attitude in this place is what I want to look at today, okay? Five things here. Look at your notes. That will help those of you who are feeling distracted. What a great picture, okay? Is that inside each mind is trying to listen to me today. Each one of you guys that are trying to focus this morning is a series of priorities trying to pull you in different directions. This is my life in this sermon. And I don't sit here alone on stage. And every week, as vulnerable as it gets, I'm just letting you know who I am. And I know you've got things pulling at you. May is no different for some of you guys, especially the end of the school year here. That's why I would really say, if you don't have to use your phone this morning to write notes, don't. Okay? If you can write them with your hand, do. It'll help you. That way you won't get, you know, binged and bonged and bing, ding, ding, and you know, like this and swap that and swipe that, all right? Save it. Give yourself a rest. Nothing, they're all trying to let you know that nothing is happening anyway, all right? Just letting you know, okay? If you don't really need that stuff. But it wasn't her actions. Jesus said this, she was distracted. It was her attitude. I'm going to stay there. So you don't start feeling bad or overwhelmed or even guilty, okay? I'm going to park here. I think guilt is the root of Martha's bad attitude in this passage. You just heard me say it, okay? I think guilt. I'll show you that. There's five characteristics, not of what's happening in the house, not of what's happening in the house, but what's happening in Martha's heart. And the movie in her mind. The first thing we see here is this. She starts managing the situation. And she goes from managing to manipulating the situation. The first thing I see that's going bad in her mind is a spirit of manipulation. Write that in. Okay? I surround myself with a lot of really good people. And I can tell when I'm hanging around them a lot, because I know them really well, when there's something kicking in that's different from what they're normally talking like, and I hear something going, I'm like, you know, you can tell. Manipulations when I start holding the responsibility that God has given me rightfully too tightly. Manipulation is a subtle shift. When I care about something, and I care about it dearly, and instead of caring about it, and caring for it, and caring about someone, I could easily find myself beginning to try to control it. Y'all tracking with me? I don't care if you're a girl or a guy, a man or a woman. You move from caring for it to controlling it, something that God has called me to care about, and I ruin it. When you care deeply about something, it's very easy, without even knowing it, to slip into this Martha mindset where you find yourself doing the right things, but on the wrong level. And we see that Martha has become manipulative here in her approach. She tells Jesus what to tell her sister. Okay? Classic manipulation. Savior, would you tell my sister? This is a very passive way to get her way, because some people manipulate with their words, but other people manipulate with their silence. Right? We've all been there. I love it. Dad, would you please tell Mom that I'm very busy, especially this time of the year? I don't have time to clean my room. I'm playing Fortnite right now. Right? No, I won't tell your mom that. We are a team, and we stand together united, not as a house divided. So don't bring your manipulative spirit that I'm going to choose you over my wife. I can't make out with you. I can make out with her, and I'm not going to lose points to her and get my priorities off base. And that's the deal. I know where my bread is buttered. You just look at your kid and say that. But I've heard that one time after. They come to me. I say no. They go to Mom looking for a yes. Right? I think Martha's manipulating because she's being manipulated. I think she's being manipulated by something within her that needs everything to be just right. It has to be this way, Jesus. And I think she has a script in her mind of just how Jesus' visit needs to go. And the script in her mind of how Jesus' visit needs to go, you know the movie in her mind. She needs Mary to be here. She needs the dishes to be here. She needs the fish and chicken to be here and the pots to be here and the pans to be there. Jesus rolls in with 12 guys right into her home, okay, 2 miles out from where he wants to be. And somebody needs to make sure there's something on the table. 12 men just walked in from a long journey, right? Are you tracking with me? Martha is in charge at this point. Somebody has to manage it. Somebody has to manage this. And I want to apologize right now for preachers who don't know what it's like in the real world. Preachers who don't understand that if you're going to provide for your family, sometimes that means you might not be able to make it to church every weekend. I get it. I understand that this is a priority for you, but I understand that you're not perfect. And that manipulation that happens sometimes, even religious manipulation, it can make you feel like you're never winning anywhere. I can't be there. Okay? One guy said one time. Let me turn on my Nashville voice here. Okay? Nobody ever said on their deathbed, I wish I had spent more time at work. Right? And the whole church said amen. And the whole church simultaneously felt very crappy. And the whole church thought simultaneously, I'm not on my deathbed yet. Okay? My kids need braces. In order to have braces, I've got to have money. And if I've got to have money, I've got to go to work. And if I don't go to work, I'm going to lose my job. And I understand that. And a lot of folks don't. And we're not here to manipulate you on that end, because all of a sudden you're getting distracted. Now you're not getting pulled between a good and a bad thing. You're getting pulled between two good things. Does that make sense? So you're starting to feel guilt over it. That's not church. Guilt will manipulate you and will make you somebody that you're not. And you'll start lashing out, feeling like you're really not performing over here. So now you're going to pull your guilt trip up on somebody else because the preparations had to be made. Spirit in this story here, and Martha's feeling it, is a spirit of obligation. Write that in. It's obligation. And it shifts so quickly, okay? It shifts really fast. It's right here in the text. You read it. It says all the preparations that had to be made. Had to be made. I got to go to work. And no, you don't. Okay? I'm serious. You don't have to. You don't. You don't have to, okay? At all. The worship team says, let's sing. You don't have to. Let's raise our hands. You don't have to. This is freedom for me. I'm simultaneously challenging and comforting both. Because I remember years ago as a youth pastor, I was preaching in two different locations. I had two different youth groups that were started up at two different church plants going on, and they were simultaneously busy. I'd go from one stage and this battery pack on me and go to another stage. They'd plug in it at another place. It was nuts. And I was going out the door one Sunday morning to preach, and I guess my attitude was not in the best place at the moment. And one kid wanted me to see something, and I think it was Alex. We had a fort going in the backyard, some stuff that he had built. And I literally was like, you know what? It's Sunday. Daddy has to go preach this morning. And I think it would be great for kids to see that they're not the center of the universe, all right? But this is not a parenting seminar. Back to my story here. All the preparations that had to be made. Had to be made. They had to be made. I was going out the door, and I've got to go preach. I've got to do this. And I don't know if the Holy Spirit has ever gotten a hold of you like he did for me that morning, but I stopped in my tracks, and God just said, you don't have to go. You don't have to. They're all going to show up, and you just see if the world stops spinning, Hobbs. Okay? I want you to do something for me if you get a minute this week. Okay? And I know that all of you are very busy Marthas out there. All right? If you get a minute this week, take a second, write down everything you got to do. Okay? Everything you got to do. I mean, make a big old list of responsibilities. Every test you got to study for. You don't got to study, right, students? No. And I'm telling you as a pastor, your parents want to kill me, all right? But you don't have to pass. You don't have to get a job. No, you don't have to live indoors when you're an adult. Hey, nobody's paying the bills anymore. You don't have to. I think the spirit of obligation is the enemy of joy. Clearly. It just swipes it right out from under you. And what happens naturally is that things that used to feel like a great opportunity start to feel like an obligation. Amen? And that's the way the enemy gets Mary to start acting like Martha. I don't think this text is so much about two different women as it's about two different tendencies. And I don't know about you, but the text said that Mary and Martha lived in the same house. And in my mind, okay, Mary and Martha live in the same heart, because I feed these things in my head and I look at this and I want to put something else in there. And there's times where I feel like Mary and I know what's important and I'm not going to be moved. And I'm sitting in this moment and I'm taking this opportunity. I'm grateful for what God has given me. And then all of a sudden it comes out of nowhere. I don't even see it coming around the corner. The spirit of got to. The spirit of need to, and the spirit of have to, right? And all of a sudden, what I love doing, and I love coming here, and Ecclesia and everything else, it's I've got to go to it. I've got to be here. Someone expects me to be at this meeting. I've got to go to Thursday night service, and I got this service. All of a sudden, it starts taking its privilege away from me. The people of God, we don't have to be in church. You don't have to be here. You didn't come to church today because you'd go to hell if you don't. You came here because God is worthy of praise. Amen? I want to worship him. I want to glorify him. I want in the deep places, in the recesses of my heart of hearts, I want to give the King of Kings the praise he deserves. That's why we come. Don't ever come to this church because you've got to. Don't ever stop me on the sidewalk because you've got to. I want you to. There's people here from Hamilton this morning because you want to be here. There's people here from the coves. You came in on a boat because you want to be here. Look at the person next to you and smile and say, I want to. Ah, there you go. I want to cook that meal. I want to wash those dishes. I want to wipe those countertops. God gave me counters to put a top on it. So I want to get to that place. I'm not there, but Martha, stay back. I'm having a merry moment. I'm sitting here because I get to. Don't interrupt me with your have to. I want to. I get to. I'm going to. I'm about to. I'm fixing to. And I get to do that. You get up in the morning, you get a chance with your infant, your baby, your single mom. You get to go to church this morning, okay? Don't you let the enemy in. Don't you let the enemy in. If I don't show up, everybody's going to say something about me. That's baloney. It's coming from this pulpit this morning. Let it roll off your shoulders. There is no obligation. You get to be here. You get to glorify God. After all, why is Martha so upset? It was her whole idea to have them stay there in the first place. It's going to help all of us. We have let our sense of obligation, which really emanates from a place that's genuine, okay? A genuine desire to be responsible. But it's not a responsibility that Jesus is rebuking here. It's our heart. It's not our hustle. He likes to see you make the most of your day. But don't sit there at your kids' game because somebody else is at all their kids' games. Right? What's that all about? Just drop your mediocre soccer player off and go do what you want to do. Okay? They're probably not going to score anyway. There's nothing to video. All right? I'm just kidding. Just go do what you want to do. Don't feel like, well, they're all sitting there, so I've got to be that parent that sits there. I've been there. I've been there. I hate that. I want to be there because I get to. I get to be there for my kid. Martha, Martha, you're running around doing all this stuff. We'd rather you be here. We'd rather you be nice when the food tastes bad. We'd rather you be here. We are here to be with you. And I don't think we believe that. So we got to do stuff for God. We could never believe that he cares more about us than he cares about it. So what happens is we judge others. You ever done this before? Okay. You ever done this? Have you? And now we're in this courtroom called social media. And we're all looking at our phones, and okay, we're delivering hate all day long. She actually thinks this looks good on her. Oh my gosh. All right? Somebody needs to say something to her. What is she wearing that for? Tell her. Martha's like, Jesus, tell her. Tell her, Jesus. This is what's going on. She's 53 wearing a dress of a 15-year-old. Somebody say something to her about that. How can they afford to go on vacation? Okay? We're not their accountant. It makes no difference. It shouldn't. They should be able to share their vacation. They should be able to share what they're wearing. But we're judging them. We're judging them. How in the world did they get that car? You don't know the story. So be careful. If you want to sit at the seat of judge, you'll end up the victim of your own judgments. That is scripture. The measure you use will be measured back to you. Amen? And then you might find yourself anxious like others judging you. But I wonder if you're a victim of your own decisions. Okay? Write this in. Victimization. Victimization. Tell her to help me. She left me all alone. Mary didn't send the invitation. Look at the text. All right? It says a woman named Martha. Look at it. A woman named Martha opened her home to him. So look at your neighbor and says, so this was your idea? Look at it. You won't have to say anything else the rest of the service.
This was your idea?
I don't understand people. I don't understand people that come to church and look at their watch the whole time. It was your idea to come. You're complaining about the very schedule that you made. You say yes to all this stuff. You're the one that's overcommitted. And then we run around and we want other people to start treating our bad decisions like they're our urgent priorities. This is crazy. Martha. Martha. Why did he say it twice? Okay? To get her attention. She's running around. She's making this noise in the kitchen. Okay? You know, Mary's at the feet of Jesus. Here I am to work. And Martha's in there. Here I'm doing dishes. Everybody, it's nuts. Jesus, do something. Nervous wreck. Martha. It's for my Ecclesia fans right there. Everybody say Martha. Why? Because you're talking to the Martha that's in you. For the last 3 weeks, something is happening to me that I haven't felt before as a pastor. And I'm trying to put my finger on it. I'm actually trying to figure out what this looks like. But there's something inside of me that is staring at the situations and going, where is the Martha that is inside you that God is speaking to right now? I'm talking to the Martha and Andrew Hobbs, okay? I'm talking to that mindset in me, that victim mentality in me. She starts out as the judge and she ends up the victim. Comparison will always kill contentment. She has no peace. And that's what bothers Jesus. Martha, I can't wait to taste your mixers. By the way, that's mashed potatoes. You're from the South. You make the best mashed potatoes in Bethany. And I love your side order of bacon. Never mind, he was Jewish, minus the bacon. I love your tea. I love what you bring. I love the salad that you've made. Okay? She was distracted, anxious, split, worried, upset. And that's the problem, is she's just interpreting the wrong movie. Then there's the next one right here. It's the next one. Interpretation. Write that in. The movie in my mind is a foreign film. I start interpreting things to mean what I think they mean. And I start interpreting the fact that people didn't check on me. Nobody checked on me. Nobody liked my post. Nobody said something to me to mean that they don't care about me. We're interpreting it wrong. I mentioned this a couple weeks ago where literally we're getting our discernment for someone else and how we feel about certain things all distorted in our perception. And those are big words, so let me break it down, teenagers, okay? What you think somebody may be thinking about you, they're probably not thinking. But in your mind, you're playing out this foreign film that says, they don't like me. They don't like my shoes. They're looking at me funny. Did I lose an earring? You know, you've got all this stuff going on, and you need to relax. This distorted perception. You're a victim already. And what happens to Martha when you have no margin? And when you're operating, trying to control things, trying to manipulate things, and you don't have to do it. You got to get it done. You never get to. You just got to. And your get to becomes your got to, and you just got to get it done. And there's no longer a sense of get to because it turns into got to, and it happens all the time, okay? It just needs this. It means that Martha needs to sit down. Martha, the victim, who owns the home, who is now a prisoner in her own idea, in her own mind. The movie that's in her mind is not her life. It's making her crazy. This is not how I predicted this would go. This luncheon is not right. So look at what she says to Jesus, verse 40. Don't you care? Jesus is like, not really. Okay? I care about you. But I don't care about what you care about right now. You got too many things on your mind. You think matter. You got too many things on your list that you think you can't live without. so your kids can't go to Vons, or you can't go to Vons without answering a text or being on the phone, and you fly right through the five-way stop sign on your phone, or God forbid, through a, you know, a walkway? No, come on, okay? Pull off the road, you know? Take a minute to finish your text, or pray, or sing a song for 3 minutes or 8 minutes if you're from Hamilton. Just relax. We need too much. Jesus says, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care what you care about, is what Jesus said. I don't care. Lord, don't you care? She interprets the fact that he is not doing what she wants him to do as a sign that he doesn't care about her. Her interpretation is off. You don't care about what I care about, so you don't care about me. Right, anybody? Is anybody here this morning? You don't get the answer you want, so you don't care about me. I wish you'd have just been here for me. Jesus says, no, I care about more for you, Martha, than you care about you. And I wish you'd just be here. And I'm feeling this right now in this room, okay? When things get silent, they get extraordinarily silent in a crowd this size. And you're sitting here going, you don't get it, man. I'm stuck on the 405. I'm 15 minutes out, and I'm on the 545, and it's 530. Or God forbid, you know, maybe you had to put your mother in a nursing home this week, and maybe finances are tight, and the rent is due now. I get it, okay? This is what Jesus says needs to happen. This is where it got me really confused. I thought these were two things, this passage on work and worship. And I thought he was saying that worship is better than work. Listen to me, business owners, okay? I thought he was saying that worship is better than work. And maybe these things don't go together. But I ran it over and over again in Scripture, because Paul says it all over Scripture, that offer yourself a living sacrifice in everything that you do, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. It's not the same, okay? It's not some lip service thing. It's not this little song. It's not this little section. It's not attending every single Sunday. This is a lifestyle. So if that is the case, what is Jesus putting here into words? What is he trying for people to see is the contrast. It's not work and worship. Really, Jesus wants me to get to the place where I can't tell the difference between the two. Amen? This does not mean you go around, you know, singing in the bank. You know, that's, I'm putting in a deposit, okay? And that's why I love this little video clip here. Can you guys play 10 seconds of that? Okay.
All right, first things first. I'm going to need everyone
guy,
to wear this awful neon-colored T-shirt everywhere
mission
we go.
Trip
because
leader.
What's the point of serving in a third world country if people in America don't know
right?
we're doing it?
All right, this guy would drive me nuts, man. I'd be like, dude, you're not leading my mission trip right now. You're whack. This is nuts, right? It's cool to go shopping at, you know, the Mercado. It's great to get pictures made and update your Facebook. Jesus is saying, I just don't want there to be where we will work here this one day, we will play here this day. Mix the two. Mix the two. Enjoy your work. Play at your work. Don't sit here and get regimented and obligated in these things. He wants you to see that he cares about all of it. He wants you to sleep. Some of you guys that don't sleep, he meets you there sometimes. He wants you to play, and he plays hard. He says, climb my mountains, climb my trees, dive in my oceans. I'm there. I'm in all of it. And if you're a business leader, lead wisely. Be honest. Let's work together in business. Let me be your co-leader here. Let me help you. There's such a regimented thing here, and there's no contrast. God wants me to give, but I got to get filled first. Amen? I've got to get filled first. And if I don't get filled first, I'm going to be ministering out of emptiness and living out of emptiness. And if I'm living out of emptiness, then I'm divided. I'm distracted, but I'm needy, and I'm living my life at a level of what I expected. And what's the final element of this passage that I want to mention right here? Here it is. It's expectation. It's expectation. Okay? Because we think about the movie in our minds, and we spell the word movie, by the way, with all of these. It's not what's happening in our lives. it's compared to the way we script it in our minds, okay? It's not what's happening in our lives compared to the way these things come together. Martha, Martha, I know you expected Mary to help, and I know you expected me to make Mary help, but don't move Mary. You're in the right place because she's sitting at the Lord's feet doing what? Listening. Very good. You can't interpret what God is doing if you never stop talking and listen. Listen. What does He want to do? Jesus, what do you want? That's what I need to ask. God, what are you doing in this moment? What are you up to right now? The contrast is not between work and worship. The contrast is between many and one. Jesus said, Martha, you're concerned about many things. You're doing too much. You're being extra right now, Martha, okay? On set, listen to me. The only one thing I need right now, there's ever only one thing I need at any one point in time is the wisdom to discern that, okay? That's the deal. And I love that. And so Martha's feeling like she's the director of this deal. And you know what? The passage doesn't tell us here, but I'd give anything to know what was said back to Jesus after he said that to her. Oh, I can only imagine. Oh, man, I can only imagine. I can only imagine what Martha said next. Well, while you two sit here and sing, I'm just going to go flip the burgers, and I'll let you all know when things are ready. Can you imagine what Martha said? Okay. Now, this is part one of the story, because here's the deal. Part two is right around the corner, because there's a serious need. Lazarus goes down. They send for Jesus. And guess what? Does he come right away? For those of you who know the story, does Jesus come right away? Oh, no. Enter Martha. Okay? Look at it in Scripture. And, in fact, look at it to see she doesn't get it right away. She doesn't get it. She's still in this seat. And she does. We don't get it right away. We don't get it right away. We're all like Martha. Okay? And so if you look at this, and it's very clear what Scripture says about this, and in fact, kind of blows my mind that she would go there. She sits back and she's got one hand on her hip as he's coming into Bethany. Like, you don't get this, do you? You know? He's dead now. In fact, the Scripture goes on to say even that Mary was inside the house, and what was she doing? She was crying. Lazarus is dead. Her head was on her pillow while, you know, Martha's hand is on her hip. Jesus, you don't get it. We gave you a very simple script. All you needed to do was show up and just offer your line. Okay? Lazarus, be healed, and he's healed. And I want to be married by age 23. I want to be happily married all of my life. Say your line, and I'm healed. I want to go to this college. God, make all my finances work out. Say your line. This will work. Be healed. Okay? There's a sickness. My mom and dad are sick. Just be healed. Say your line. Jesus, just it's like Lazarus is dead. We all know it. We sent for you. Heal him. I make my flight. It's not delayed. Right? Jesus, say your line. I've asked you to do something. You just do it. We're just like Martha. Okay? We're trying to direct. And God says this. He says, you want to say something? You want to go on and on and on? I wrote the script. He says, I am. Look at it, okay? On the screen here, verse 20 of chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 22. The one who believes in me will live, even though they died. So Mary scripted a healing. Martha scripted a healing. Jesus flipped the script. He gave them something greater than they could know or expect or request or guess. Y'all aren't happy about that. Y'all aren't happy about the fact that you don't have to direct this movie. You don't have to make this movie. My friends, you don't have to figure out how it ends. Amen? You don't. There are certain movies that you watch by certain directors. You know exactly what I'm going to say right here. You can predict the ending. Who wrote this? Oh, Abrams. Okay, I know how this is going to go, right? You know certain directors will always end their movie a certain way. You know where I'm going with this. And they predict certain things. You can kind of see this. YouTube will go ahead of Star Wars and say, well, this is what we think is going to happen based on this type of director that we have going on, okay? Where you can predict based on who that director is, the outcome of the movie, okay? Because if you know who made it, I said if you knew who made it, if you knew who made the movie, then I know how this ends. Amen? Are you awake this morning? And I declare in the name of Jesus today that your movie doesn't end like this. The junk you have going on in your life does not end the way you think it ends. There's a different director. Get off the chair. Put Jesus in that chair. He's got a different story and a different ending. It doesn't end in shame. Your movie does not end in disgrace. But Martha, for Jesus to do what he wants to do, you're going to have to stop being the director. You're going to have to get out of that chair, and you're going to have to sit like this sometimes, okay? And you're going to have to simply listen. And your posture has got to be, I don't have it all together. The burgers can wait. You're here. You're in my home. Avalon, the spirit of anxiety is all over this place. Every cruise ship day, I can see it. So many owners. It's a lot of work. And I think there's a Martha in all of us that mean well. Okay? Listen to me. I think there's a Martha in all of us. We mean well. But just tries to do too much. And we need a Martha to be replaced with a Mary. In this case, just switch over, okay? Both are important. And we need a Mary. But in this case, sometimes we get misunderstood. And sometimes you have to make some decisions about what's important to you that won't align with what seems to be important to this freaking pill-popping world. They don't get it. They don't understand. And sometimes you have to say things about your family that you're committed to. And guess what? You're misunderstood. Happens to my family all the time in ministry. Well, they just chose that over us. No. You don't know the story. This needed to happen for my... I'd rather be misunderstood like Mary than distracted like Martha. Amen? Write that down somewhere. I don't care where. I'd rather be misunderstood. I came to talk to you about the movie in your mind. And your expectations, my expectations, about how life is supposed to be. And that God is making his way better than the one that you've scripted. And I've heard this from God a million times over. He reminds me, if I always met your expectations, Hobbs, I would never be able to exceed them. If I always made your movie, I couldn't make mine. And I'm humbled. So, Lord, I really want to be busy like Martha, because I need to be about my Father's business, but I want a heart like Mary that knows when to sit and to listen and let you do your job. Martha, this is not your place. It's not your place to judge others. It's not your place. You're stressing yourself out, trying to manage other people's decisions. Just manage your own. Be mad at your own decisions. Right? It's enough. It's enough. And I hope this message has reached out to the Marthas in every heart today. To just say, you're doing the right things. Hear me? You're doing the right things. You just don't have to do them this way. You don't have to live in regret about mistakes that you have made. Okay? Because this is not your chair. This is not your chair right here. You need a new director. We all need a new movie. Somebody who knows how the story ends. If our worship team can come up. John chapter 12, verse 1. And by the way, this is my favorite part in the whole story, okay? By the time we see Martha in her last appearance, Lazarus is resurrected, and there is a party going on, all right? Anybody love a party? You can't say that in church. Come on. There's a party going on for Jesus. It's a Jesus party. I want that party. You're all invited, by the way. Everybody's having a party for Jesus. And look at this verse, okay? And Mary served, it says. I'm sorry, Martha served. Martha served. John chapter 12, verse 1. And Martha served. She gets it now. She knows her place now. She's living her gifts in the right way. She's experienced resurrection. She's experienced disappointment. She's experienced and surrendered all of her expectations, her will. And I wonder what will happen if we do the same this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your presence in this place this day and your Spirit. It's always with us, resting, ruling, reigning, abiding with us. I thank you for these people, all of which we bring a lot of stuff. And whatever they're carrying, nothing is too much for you. Nothing's too hard for you. You're an all-sufficient God. Whatever season they find themselves in, and whatever scene has played itself out, you already know the end from the beginning. You're a great God. We surrender this morning all of our plans and our desires and dreams, even our disappointments, because we're here to serve you and worship you. You are God, we are not. Thank you for taking that position. We love you, and inside each of us, we honor you, and we thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen.